Welcome back to the program. I'm your host, Betsy Rosenberg. This is EcoTalk. And in my travels, covering all the green events I can get to over the last decade, I've met a lot of folks who are experts in their field, not only here in the Bay Area in Northern California, but also across the country, in some cases, the world. And about to introduce someone who fits that category. He is Andres Edwards. He has long been one of the green building movement's most thoughtful experts, and he brings a wealth of experience and wisdom far beyond architecture to his work. His organization is EduTrax. It's committed to helping companies like Whole Foods, nonprofits, and government agencies run a more sustainable ship, and sometimes to even help them build a greener ship. Your education and worldly experience, Andres, goes deep and broad. Welcome to the program.
Thank you, Betsy. Great to be here.
What are some of the formative experiences that drew you into thinking about the practical, philosophical, and cultural dimensions of ecology?
Back in the late 80s, I had an opportunity to travel through Tibet and spend time with the nomads and farmers. And then when I came back to the Bay Area, I met a man, Robert Apte, who had also been to Tibet. And so we formed a group to try and write a book about Tibet. And in researching that, and we did a whole oral history project with Tibetans living in exile in Nepal, just really got a sense of, you know, how different cultures treat the environment and what their livelihood was like and what the impact of development is. In the case of Tibetans, of course, it's the Chinese invasion and culture into Tibet. So that was kind of a key component that got me going in terms of the relationship between humans and nature. And then I got interested more in sustainability and started researching all aspects of sustainability from the economic point of view, from agriculture, from fisheries, and all of that. Those are some of the key elements.
So you do take a sort of big picture view. The book that you co-authored is called Tibet, Enduring Spirit, Exploited Land. When was that written?
That was 1998, and there was a lot of work that had been going on in Tibet, and reports were coming back of the destruction to the environment, and we formed a group that was actually going to research that, and I wanted to get a well-known author to write this book, but over the years, it took us actually 7 years to put that book together. It came down to just Bob Apte and myself, and we said, you know what, we've kind of researched all this. People have come and gone through our group. Let's just buckle down and write this up. And so we did, and we got photographs from different photographers. And when that book came out, it's been great response from it. It was years ago. We set up a website called Tibet Environmental Watch, which is sort of an extension to the book, which updates current environmental issues related to Tibet. And we also came out with a paperback version in 2005, and the proceeds from that book are going to Tibet education projects.
You were a busy guy in 2005. You also put out another book titled The Sustainability Revolution, Portrait of a Paradigm Shift.
Yes, that was a book that was really an attempt to try and map the whole sustainability landscape.
Wow.
It grew out of my master's thesis at New College of California, and as a way to look at the whole movement towards sustainability from different aspects, from a community perspective in terms of green plans, from green business, from natural resources, whether it's forestry or fisheries, from the ecological design point of view, and from the biosphere, which is really biomimicry, permaculture, all these different aspects. So it was a very broad way to kind of look at the picture, but I took the angle of looking at the principles of sustainability as a way of understanding the underlying values in the sustainability movement.
Okay, and in between those two books, you started EduTrax, which specializes in green building and sustainability education, as we mentioned at the top, for companies, nonprofits, and government organizations. How has your job changed as more and more people come to green building with some motivation and perhaps even more knowledge, certainly, than 5 years ago?
Well, you know, 5 years ago when I started, it was a huge learning curve for folks to begin to understand, you know, what is green building, what are green building materials, and with as it's very rapidly been mainstreamed, people are a lot more familiar. There's more organizations. There's more nonprofit groups. The U.S. Green Building Council has the lead, Leadership for Energy and Environmental Design Standard, which is a standard that's now being applied to many green buildings as a way of looking at the materials, at the siting, at the indoor environmental quality. So there's just more awareness. And also, you know, even working with municipalities in terms of developing green building displays for homeowners, for architects to understand what their options are. So it's wonderful how it's just flourished. And it's not just in the U.S., but even internationally. In Europe and Asia and Latin America, there's just much more of the wave, the green building wave, is really taking over.
Certainly. And tell us about your work with Whole Foods, just to give us some specific examples of how you will work with a large business.
Yeah, Whole Foods is the Whole Foods in Sarasota, Florida. The regional manager there was really interested in promoting green building, and so he decided to make that store a green building store. So it was the second grocery store in the country to be LEED certified. And so they looked at things like energy, they looked at the materials, they looked at the indoor environmental quality. And I developed an educational display there that explained the process of LEED, the certification process, and how LEED was implemented in that building. And so right there by the counter, there's photographs of what was implemented, and with captions and text, and there's also some green building materials as well right in that store.
Is that the one in the Miami area?
It's in Sarasota, Sarasota, Florida.
Okay, so you also work with universities?
Yes, I'm doing a lot of work with colleges and universities now because it's just another silent revolution on greening campuses. So I'm working with faculty and administrators in terms of incorporating sustainability education into the curriculum, as well as with facility managers in terms of how to save on energy, water, on waste, all of these elements. And a lot of it includes really exciting stuff like doing dorm competitions on which dorm can save the most energy or reduce their waste.
Recycle more.
Recycle, all of that. And these are national competitions. So we're working with several colleges here in the Bay Area and elsewhere that are doing this kind of work.
So do you think there should be government mandates on green practices, green building in particular, or is the wave already, big enough?
Well, it's happening. I think maybe it's not an either or. I think that the government can certainly help in terms of leading that, but the people are understanding very quickly that it pays to go green. So even though you may put up substantial money up front in terms of getting things going, it'll be more than be made up in terms of the operations. And in some cases, it's even more economical. So it's just a learning curve of understanding what needs to happen. And more importantly, it's about getting the right people at the design stage right up front. It's about integrative design, getting the engineer, getting the architect, getting all the owners, all of the people involved from the very beginning to design the design process so that it's really well designed and it's carried through from the initial stages all the way through the completion of the project.
Is EduTracks tracking the interest in green building and the green movement in general?
Yeah, I mean, I do that just by fact of the people that I interact with. And also, a lot of my work is really in the educational component and the consulting aspect of it in terms of figuring out how to convey this knowledge to the general public, whether it be the occupants in the building or the people who are going to be visiting there.
Education is obviously key to, understanding how greener anything can be an improvement for personal and planetary health. I see that as continuing, obviously. We're going to keep learning, right? It's not like this is something you teach someone and then we're there.
Oh, no, we're in the beginning. I mean, we're just in the starting phases. I think it's lifelong learning. And I think that even in the green building arena, we're just beginning to understand what we can do It's tremendous opportunities, but we're just all learning about how to do this stuff right now.
And how much of it is kind of going back to the past and just keeping it simple, versus building these airtight, super, vacuum-sealed buildings and rooms that are causing some of the problems with high VOC paint and brand-new carpet and perhaps poor circulation, poor natural circulation?
Yes, it's about keeping it simple. There's the technological aspect. It's in terms of understanding the materials, their off-gassing, the processes, the energy, the water. And there's also the behavioral component. How do we use buildings? What makes a building not just very efficient, but what makes it want us to go inside and spend time? So there's a whole component of how a building is used and how it can be used and adapted over time. Because in many instances, you design a building the first year and then maybe 5 years or even less or more down the road, people want to use it in a different way. So how do we do it so that it's efficiently redesigned or reused without having to spend a lot of money remodeling it?
We just have 1 minute left. What do you see coming down the road? What's on your horizon?
Well, I'm really excited about, again, the whole university movement and how that's moving and changing, and thinking about the coming generation and the kids in high school now and in college and how excited they are about the work they can do. And so many of them are saying, well, how can I get involved? So I think it's about presenting the options to the next generation of what can be done and an understanding. I think there's plenty of information out there. It's about how to find one's place. And I always say to people, you know, it's about what motivates us, what inspires us, and then going in that direction.
Perhaps a green career track. And thanks so much. We're out of time, but we appreciate your being with us, Andres Edwards. We'll be back with Barry from Bean Trees Fine Organic Coffees. He wants to caffeinate you and support us, EcoTalk, at the same time. We'll be right back.